A little bit more about Fog Allen, because he coached basketball for 50 seasons. He had a record of 746 wins, 264 record, and he retired with the all-time record for most coaching wins in college basketball history at the time. He coached Dean Smith, Adolph Rupp, Ralph Miller, all future Hall of Fame coaches.
He and Mr. I were probably considered the two best coaches in college basketball when I came along. Mr. I, of course, was a little bit younger than Dr. Allen. Like I said, I was so impressed with both Mr. Iva and Dr. Allen, but, you know, the arena in Lawrence, they have a chant now, beware of the fog. That means that the spirit of Fog Allen is still around, and the students chant that sometimes. But Allen Fieldhouse, that was built, I think, about the time I was coming out of high school. I think it was in 55, maybe it was built. So I would have played there, and that's one reason they were able to recruit Wilt Chamberlain from Philadelphia, was the fact that it was a new arena and that Fog Allen was the coach. Of course, at that time, he was the best basketball player probably to have played, and certainly the best big player to have played at that time. But Dr. Allen was just considered a great, great coach.
He even coached former United States Senate Majority Leader Bob Dole at one time.
Right. Yeah, there were a lot of famous players that played for him that later went on to become very exceptional in the different fields.
And he created the National Association of Basketball Coaches, which went on to create the NCAA tournament.
The National Association of Basketball Coaches started the NCAA tournament. I think it was in like 1938, somewhere in the late 30s is when they had the first championship game. But Dr. Allen and Mr. Iba and a few other coaches were the ones that started the national championship series.
You go on to Oklahoma A&M at the time. You were a starting guard and played then for, as we always refer to him, Mr. Iba or Mr. Henry Iba. He retired in the 69-70 season. Let's talk about him. His teams were known for ball control, low scoring.
Defense and ball control. In other words, as I've gone through my coaching career, I think defense is a stabilizer of any team sport, whether it's football, baseball, or basketball, those three sports. If you aren't sound defensively, you're not going to be a consistent winner. But at the offensive end, he was very conservative with the basketball. Fundamentally a very sound coach, which anybody that's successful is certainly fundamental in what they teach. Strong defensive coach, but offensively, he wanted to take care of the ball. No turnovers, massage the ball, handle the ball until the defense breaks down, they make a mistake, then shoot it. He was very ball controlled, as you mentioned, but very, very strong in a lot of the fundamentals that he taught. You know, when they talk about the motion offense or the passing game offensively, he was really the one that started that, and they've had so many great coaches through the years that have copied that. They may have made some adjustments. Look at Dean Smith and Bob Knight and coaches like that. They certainly have been able to use a lot of those fundamentals that Mr. Ivey used, and they certainly used a lot of his defensive fundamentals as well.
He was known as the Iron Duke of Defense. He was the first to win consecutive NCAA titles in 1945 and 1946. All told, in 40 years of coaching, he won 767 games. And then he was also athletic director.
Well, that's the thing a lot of people forget, is that he not only was considered a great coach, but he became an administrator and was the athletic director. He also coached other sports at certain times during his coaching career. I think he helped coach football. He coached some baseball. But one thing he did, he was very instrumental in bringing Oklahoma State from the Missouri Valley Conference into what was the Big Eight. And I was a part of that because in 1958, my senior year, we played as an independent, and that was a transitional year when Oklahoma State left the Missouri Valley and went to the Big Eight. It was the Big Seven until Oklahoma State came into the conference. The Big Eight was a much more prestigious conference than the Missouri Valley. He was the one that really spearheaded that and should have been given the most credit for bringing the school into the Big Eight, and it certainly changed the university and elevated it to a higher level nationally in the conference that they went into. In my senior year, like I said, we played as an independent We still played a Missouri Valley Conference, but went to the NCAA tournament as an independent. At that time, I think there were only 24 teams went to the NCAA tournament. We went all the way to the championship game, what they call the Elite Eight game of the Sweet 16. If we beat K-State, who won the Big Eight that year, we would have gone to the Final Four. They defeated us. It was played in Allen Fieldhouse, but it was K-State, the Wildcats, and they knocked us off. So that was the last game I played in. Mr. Ibe, I think, took a team in the mid-60s. Paul Hansen took a team in the early 80s, 83, I think. And Bill Self, who later was one of my assistant coaches, played on that team, and now he's the outstanding coach at the University of Kansas. That meant that we went in 58, Mr. Ibe in 65, I think, Paul Hansen in 83. So from the time I left OSU until I came back in 1990, they'd only been to two NCAA tournaments. So I'll never forget Mr. Ivey when I came back. He said, "I'm so happy to have you come back. One of my boys is going to take over the program." But he said, "I want to tell you something. This is not an easy job. It's a hard job." And he said, "You're not going to be able to win like you have at the other schools where you've been." And I said, "Well, I hope we can." I said, "If we can get some good players, I think we'll be all right." I did have some reservations because I thought, well, I wasn't sure because of the locale that you would be able to maybe recruit as many African-American students because so many of those youngsters were in cities, and I'm not sure they could adjust to a community like Stillwater. But we were very fortunate. We were able to do that. So from 1990 and the 16 years I coached there, we took 13 teams to the NCAA tournament and two teams to the NIT.
And I'm going to get to that here in a minute. Mr. Ibe, first of all, the home arena, Gallagher Hall, was renamed Gallagher Ibe in 1987. And Gallagher was named after Ed Gallagher, the OSU wrestling coach. In your coaching career then, kind of sum up what you took from Henry Ibe. Obviously, he wasn't with you in games, but would he be on your shoulder, or was Mr. Ibe that close in spirit?
Well, I don't think that once I started coaching, I ever thought he was around me, but I certainly drew on a lot of the things that he had taught. First of all, fundamentally, he was so sound in everything that he would teach. I borrowed that, and as Al McGuire told me once, he said, "You know, there's nothing wrong with borrowing something from another coach, but just give him credit." So I've given Mr. Ibe a lot of credit through the years for all the things that he gave to any of us that went into coaching. He was sound fundamentally. Two, he preached defense. He said, "Defense is going to win the games." He said, "You know, there are nights that you shoot a basketball," and he said, "the ball doesn't go in the basket." And he said, "There's some nights everything you throw up, it goes in the hoop." But he said, "Defense should be the same every night. It shouldn't vary because, you know, the ball sometimes bounces around up there and won't go in. Other nights it will." But he said, "Defense should be the same every evening." Well, that's something I never forgot. We've always tried to make our players understand that it is a stabilizer of any team sport. The other thing he taught was take care of the basketball. Don't be careless with the basketball. Don't beat yourself. When you make too many turnovers and throw the ball away, he said, you're asking for a defeat. He also taught the value of rebounding. He said, you know, when you shoot the ball, you condition your players to go to the basket and assume every shot's going to be missed. I remember this term, go early, don't go late to the backboard. And what he meant was get in there and get a place under the basket, and if the ball comes off at your end of the court, well, then you got a chance to retrieve it. And if you don't, well, then you can still get back on defense. At the defense event, I can still remember, he said, everybody's a defensive rebounder. Limit the other team to one shot every time they cross the midcourt line. So those are things that he taught that a lot of other coaches have borrowed from him through the years, a lot of successful coaches that came after him. But I think that his philosophy on the game was so sound that that was the reason that he was able to win. In later years, when he didn't win, it was because he could not make the transition in the way recruiting changed. When he was coaching, and just before I went there, they used to have tryouts. You could bring in all kinds of players to your campus on weekends and work them out, and then you could make a decision who you wanted. Of course, at that time, there were a lot of players just came because of his success. Well, they had done away with that rule when I came, but nobody was really recruiting like they do today. I mean, today you can subscribe to different books that tell you about different players all over the country. You can go to summer camps to watch players. You have summer leagues and go watch players. Well, they didn't have any of that those days, but they did start recruiting about the time that I went to college, where coaches would come to your home and introduce themselves and visit with you and visit with your parents. Well, Mr. Ivan never did get into that. He just still had that. I don't know whether he was stubborn or whether he just said that I'll just wait for the players to come to me. I'm not sure he ever made very many home visits, even after I had got into high school coaching. I know I had two players. One went to Kansas and one went to Oklahoma State. Joe Smith was the one that went to Stillwater from Tulsa Central, and Mr. Ivan never came over to his home to visit with him or anything. I remember he wanted me to bring Joe over to the campus, which I did, and he talked to him, and that was about it. But had he gotten the players, he would have still been just as successful as he was in those early years of his coaching, but he just didn't adjust to the way times changed.
But maybe his personality, I don't know, wasn't outgoing and a people kind of personality.
Well, he could be intimidating, and I'm not sure that that's not true. He may have not had the personality like some coaches.
Well, yourself included. I mean, you're very outgoing and gregarious, and he may not have been that way. Is that true?
He was a very, very nice person once you got to know him, but he wasn't as gregarious as maybe a lot of other coaches were at that time.
Yeah.
For instance, even the coaches that recruited me, Fog Allen, Tex Winter, Ralph Miller, all much more outgoing than Mr. Iba.
Yeah. But he's still honored to this day in many ways, and in Gallagher Iba Arena, a seat in the southeast concourse level of the arena is still known as Mr. Iba's seat.
I think his shadow still casts quite large over the campus of Oklahoma State.